You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Cross the Desk
with Clement Maniatela
on 702.
So, I told you that on Across the Desk today, I'm hosting Pilots. Yeah, I'm hosting Pilots this morning. They're here in studio with me, Sibusise Nxumalo and Refile Moretsi. And I'm looking forward to finding out more about their job. And I was saying earlier that, my goodness, it's the complexities, the technicalities of this job. You've got to be adequately trained. I want them to tell me about the training, how they became pilots, and just what their experience has been in the industry so far. So let's welcome the guests. Busiso, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Good morning to your listeners, and thank you for having us.
Profile, thank you so much for coming through as well.
Thank you so much for having us. Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
So you just landed?
Yes, this morning.
From Kinshasa?
From Kinshasa this morning.
Are you still alive and awake?
Well, I think so.
Yeah. Do you guys sleep, by the way? Like, when you are up in the air and you are flying to, I don't know, DC or Brazil and it's 14 hours, do you sometimes, like, take a nap?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, you have to.
You have to.
And then who's, okay, the next one is away because there's two of you, right?
No, it's actually regulated to have a minimum of three crew for flights.
Oh, three.
Above 8
in the
hours.
In the cabin.
Yeah, the cockpit. So it's three pilots for every flight that's above 8 hours.
So you take a nap and then Refile is handling and then Refile sleeps. Yeah. Okay, just don't nap all of you at the same time.
Thank you so much, guys, for
making time. How did you get into this industry, Smoo?
My story, so I grew up in, well, I was born in Shawela.
Yeah.
Shawela Flats.
Oh, so the president was your neighbor.
President was my neighbor, yeah.
Nice.
And I had the privilege of flying him, so it was two Shawela boys in one aircraft.
Yeah.
So I grew up in, I was born in Shawela, and then I was raised by my grandmother in Tutuza, in the East Rand.
Yeah.
So there was a little airfield there called Danota, which was in a South African Air Force airfield where they flew Harvards. And every now and then I'd get a peek of all the Harvards flying across, and I think I was just below 7 years old.
Yeah.
And then the bug just bit me. And eventually, progressively, I went back to Soweto. Went to Elsingiti Primary School, then Riashuma High School. So what happened was there was a career day and a company called Aerosuit came to look for aspiring aviators being pilots and engineers.
Yeah.
So I put my hand up and my teacher supported that. And from grade 10, I got a sponsorship to go to Hoër Skool Waterkloof to the Flying Academy there. And I started flying when I was in grade 10, standard 8. And I was 15, turning 16 when I had my first flight.
What?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. And you, Refile?
Well, I grew up in Zanin. It's a small, beautiful town in Limpopo. And
it's far, though. I love it.
Yeah,
but it's
a very gorgeous
it's far.
Yeah, and I grew up last born of, I've got three older sisters, three older brothers. Last born, I grew up both parents. And when I was 7 years old, we got the opportunity to go to Durban on vacation, and coincidentally enough, it was on an SAA flight to Durban, and got the opportunity to go to the flight deck on landing in Durban. And when I just saw that flight deck, immediately then I was the aviation bug hit, and I think 7 is the magic number, because that's also when my love for aviation began.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember much of the holiday, because I was looking forward to getting back so that I can enjoy the flight back to Joburg.
Wow.
And growing up in Zanin, there aren't really a lot of like aviation or like airports, and but I was lucky enough to have a very, very supportive parents. And from that time on, my dad started taking me to air shows, and both very, very supportive. And then when I finished matric, I actually applied for aeronautical engineering at WITS, because I thought, if I can't do flying, then let me go to the maybe next best thing, which would be engineering. And I think a few days before I had to go to WITS, I asked my mom if I could take a gap year and then try out the flying thing, try to get funding, and then if not, then I'll study the following year. And she like accepted, because she was quite very supportive. And then my sister at the time, because we didn't have access to like social media and internet on your phone, my sister found an ad in the Sunday Times for pilot training in the South African Air Force. And I applied and I got in, and that's where my career started.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, because what I'm picking up from both of you is that there was passion from a young age.
Yes.
I mean, the first time I remember I started having a conversation with my friends when we were considering careers and what we wanted to do. And when they mentioned some of them who wanted to be pilots, it was more, yo, apparently they get paid so much money. So I want to be a pilot. Oh. So it wasn't, oh, I love flying. I'm fascinated by this and that. How expensive is it to study?
Oh, very expensive.
Yeah?
I mean, very expensive. As I was saying, I was very fortunate enough to get that that access, you know, to training at a high school level. And then post high school, I managed to get into the SA cadet program. So I'm actually essentially sitting here as a product of South African Airways from the start to the end.
Wow.
And now I'm flying the aircraft and flying the flag representing the country. And it's always been my dream to do that. So if you look at the costs of flying in general, from hour zero to getting towards your airline transport pilot's license, which is the license me and Refilo hold,
yeah,
you're looking at about a 1.5 million rands.
Yeah.
Sure.
And unfortunately, not many people of our color can afford that.
Yeah.
And without the assistance of government programs such as the cadet programs or any sponsorships by the, I mean, I see the Civil Aviation Authority is doing such a great job in training pilots for the future, but it's still not enough. You know, if we want to change the demographics of the industry itself, it's still not enough. So there's some way, I think, might be controversial to say that the private sector has to also pull in a bit and to try and assist in changing the dynamics and changing the perception of what the career entails and how it looks from the outside. Because representation does matter.
It does. Representation does matter. I get excited when I'm being flown by a black pilot, especially a black female pilot.
Oh, yeah.
But the accessibility, Refilo, I mean, you were lucky to have a sister who was paging through and saw this ad.
Yeah.
You know, I can just imagine some kid from the deep down rural areas who doesn't have access to like Sunday newspapers.
Yes.
Who only have SABC 1 and these programs are never really advertised there. So I suppose there's work that government needs to do in making sure that this information is accessible and the opportunities are accessible to those communities as well.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I think it's everyone's responsibility. As my colleague mentioned, firstly, government. And then secondly, I think even those areas that don't have internet access, where those youngsters who could maybe love a career in aviation don't have access to information. It's also up to us doing aviation outreach programs in those communities. But also, we can't get to everyone. And I would also like urge parents and teachers to just seek out information and then send it back into those communities. Actually, I think a few weeks ago, I had a teacher on my flight, and she actually asked for my details from Eastern Cape. And I gave her my details, and she asked me to just send a short clip, like video, of just talking about aviation. And she said she's going to play that to her class. So things like that. There's other ways to reach those hard-to-reach places or those places that don't have access to internet. But it's everyone's responsibility. Yeah. But I do hope that in terms of government, they can help out a bit more, because I think you lose a lot of people that would have loved this career but don't have access to it or don't have information about it.
011-883-0702. If you've got a question for Sibusiso or Refilwe, I'll take your call, your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702, SMSs on 31702. I'll get to those. We'll talk about challenges in their work, the misconceptions about this career, and more after this, 17 minutes after 11.
Across the Desk
with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
All right, 19 minutes now after 11 o'clock. I'm hosting pilots on Across the Desk today. They're in studio with me. I want to go to some of your calls now and WhatsApp voice notes that are coming through. Muso, I'm going to ask you guys to put on your earphones, please. Muso, you're calling us from Centurion. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. My daughter has been very passionate since the age of 5, and I've been taking her to the air shows, and then I took the initiative of taking her to a flight school, and I think she's got about an hour. She just flew us around. And that's where it ended. And it's like she's just dipping into that, I don't know, that can't say depression, but she's very down because I can't afford it. And I just want information. Where can I go? Can they give me some numbers that I can call, because I think that I also tried. I think that there's one that was sponsored by the South African Airway, Air Force, and I think that they don't have it anymore. I tried to call, and I think that somebody said that because of COVID-19, then they stopped supporting those kind of programs.
Yeah.
But I need information. Where can she get assistance? I don't know.
How old is your daughter now, Musa?
She's 17.
17 now. Okay. Do you guys know?
11.
Yeah. All right. No, yeah. Listen on the radio, Muso. Do you guys know of organizations that Muso can approach?
In terms of organizations, unfortunately, there has been funding before, but it's very few and far between. But I think they were greatly affected by COVID. I'll just mention the organizations that she can maybe contact, and also follow the pages on like social media and visit the websites. One of them being, as Sibusiso mentioned, was the CAA. So South African Civil Aviation Authority. So one is in a while they do offer sponsorship for flight training. And then also TETA, which is a Transport Education Training Authority. And also the South African Air Force. I trained through the South African Air Force. That's where I did my training and also employment. So I got my flying experience also mostly from the South African Air Force. And then also just follow all the South African airlines, because from time to time they also do offer cadet programs. And there's also other aviation groups that you can follow on Facebook, on Instagram, because that's, I think, where you can get a lot of information when there's funding opportunities. We like to share that on those social media platforms. And I think there's Skymasters on Facebook. Skymasters on Facebook. You can follow that. And then, unfortunately, it is very difficult to get funding, especially now since COVID.
Yeah.
I think mostly, Marifila, as she has mentioned, the three primary funders at the moment is the CAA, TETA, and the South African Air Force. And I just want to get into what Musa said about a daughter dipping into this depression. And that happens when there is no future. She doesn't see how she's going to progress. So mom did a great job of getting her the first hour and getting the bug instilled in her. So now this is where ours, now we have a social responsibility. And I think we do not take this into consideration much, because we're living the dream, if I can put it that way. But someone out there just needs a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of a push. So even if it's just a conversation, 5 minute conversation on the phone, that will really, really go a long way. And I mean, I hope Muso's daughter, maybe she can reach out to one of us. We're always willing to talk.
So what I'll do is I'll ask Manzane and Amu to just call Muso Umbuso back, and then let's get in touch. Let's get Sibusiso and Refile in touch. Let's connect Muso with them.
Absolutely.
Now that you've given us the permission, because sometimes you're right. It's just a phone call to encourage someone that I've been through this. You can make it, and you will make it. So it's the Civil Aviation Authority. It's TETA. It's Air Force. And follow the airlines on social media. That's quite key. And then I'm going to go to some calls now quickly. I see them coming through. So the other day I was talking to the Civil Aviation Authority, in fact, about some of the safety issues with Comair. When you guys are in the flight and there's a safety issue, how do you not get worried and you've got anxieties and you're overreacting? Because, I mean, as a passenger, when the plane is landing, that's the time when I'm the most stressed human being. So with you guys, like, is there training that trains you to just like settle down and not overreact and just come down and look at how you react?
Rule number one is South African Airways.
Yeah.
In an emergency, sit in your hands for the first 3 seconds. Do not react. Then there's a procedure that we follow between the two crew. So the two crew are in coordination at the same point throughout the whole process. So I know that publicly it's a little, I can call it a little incident or a small little technical glitch for us. But at the back, it sounds like something else.
It does.
It sounds like something else. That's another thing. The exposure is not there. The exposure is not. And we watch air crash investigations. We make assumptions. We watch this.
Don't you get scared?
It's a learning experience for us.
I've stopped watching those because then I'm scared to fly. I mean, to a point where When I remember when I was flying to Brazil, I was going on holiday and I didn't want to take a direct flight because I thought, oh my God, it's 14 hours. I'd rather do like seven, go to Dubai and then from Dubai, because I'm like, chances of me dying and there be complications are there if the flight is in the air for like longer.
No, no, actually, we actually go through quite an intense training and not only your initial training, but even like right now in the airline, every 6 months we're in the simulator. Training. And we're not training to fly. At this point, we can fly. We can fly an aircraft.
Yeah.
They just throw so many emergencies at us, like almost every eventuality that you can think of.
Impossible scenarios.
And it's basically how we handle those situations. And they're basically teaching you your decision-making skills, your critical thinking, your workload management, your time management.
Yeah.
And those are kind of like the things that from here on onwards and your experience from your previous flying experience that you actually now use. So when it happens in real life, you've kind of seen it a lot of times. So at that
time, ready for it.
We're ready for it. Because we've trained immensely for it. Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Okay, let's go to Shailene. Shailene, you're calling us from Joburg. You're a former pilot yourself.
Yes, I am. I actually got my commercial program ATPL in 2019. So basically my question is, look, since the pandemic started, a lot of us pilots had to find work doing other things. Before the pandemic started, it was quite hard to find jobs in South Africa. I know a lot of pilots, like colleagues, who are instructors, and they tried all the routes in South Africa, and it's still quite tough for them to find work. Whereas I expected to find work in Tanzania. And I know a lot of my friends that find work in Namibia and are earning like very little money. Basically, we making a loss going there. We're going there and we're putting in our own money to just live. So basically, my question is for you guys who are still in the industry, why is the job market looking in South Africa
right now?
Because I'm pretty sure you guys know that a lot of pilots, South African pilots, have to leave the country to find work.
Yeah,
quite hard to get into South African airlines.
Yeah, now Shailene, thank you so much. Great question. And SAA, I mean, the impact of COVID-19 also affected SAA. I mean, it was going through a business rescue process. The pandemic just made things worse, even for you guys. How is it looking now? Are things getting back to normal? How's the job market looking also broadly, looking at the aviation industry in the country?
Okay, so the pandemic really exacerbated the process that SA was going through. And getting through it now, and after the launch in September 2021, the airline is now progressively growing. We're seeing the capacity of passengers in our aircraft have just increased drastically. And we really appreciate the public for coming back and supporting the airline itself. And then as for the aviation industry as a whole, South African aviation industry is very tricky. It's tricky in a sense that we only have a handful of airlines that are operating, and those just fill up the market. And if you look at the two other major airlines, including SA as well, there's pretty much three airlines. They just flood the market with all the routes. So if you look at Joburg and Cape Town, you can get three or four operators doing the same route. So now it all is going to depend on expansion. How are these airlines going to expand from where they are at this point in order for them to hire more pilots?
Yeah.
You find that now because of the mango issue that they had to go through Section 189, most pilots left and went to out of the country. So that also leaves a vacuum, in essence, in the aviation market, because the more pilots leave, the more pilots will be required. So, but now the unfortunate thing is the waiting game. Do you wait here in South Africa and for how long without a salary? Or do you go ahead and go across outside of the country and look for
and come back when things have settled and there are more opportunities?
And globally, the market is opening up at a faster rate than a lot of people predicted. I mean, the big three in the Middle East have just gone on another aviation drive of hiring, and pilots are just going in there. And in the past 2 months, I know one company there in the Middle East has just hired over 120 pilots, and they've got 100 aircraft on order. So, and most of them, about 50% of those pilots are from South Africa.
So things are really opening up quick.
Yeah.
All right. Mbali, Bokang, Rodney, Makabongwe, I see your calls. We'll get to them after the latest in Eyewitness News.
Across the Desk
with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's 11:33. Let's continue our Across the Desk conversation with pilots that I'm hosting in studio today. Sibusiso Nxumalo and Refule Moretsi. I'm seeing your messages. People are showing you some love, guys. Let me read this to you before I go to the lines. Hi, Clement, Sibusiso and Mogel. I'm so proud of you guys. God bless. Yes. That's Ntombi Sebokeng. Another person says, you guys are an inspiration. Our ancestors' wildest dreams keep flying high. And rise. This is Kumi. This is Refilo's sister.
Oh, yes, that's my sister.
Thank you, sister, for sending a message. Let's go to Bokang now, who's calling us from Glen Vista. Ooh, Bokang, switch off the radio, please. I'll come back to you, Mbali. You are in Naturena. Good morning. Hi, Mbali.
Hi, Clement. Hi, sister. Hi, Refilo. My name is Mbali. I just wanted to say that I grew up with Sibusiso from a Portiano as kids. Playing on the streets, you know, he would always say that, Mina, I'm going to fly on my aeroplane.
Yeah.
And as kids, we would always take it, she's a born. Because we would always dream of becoming doctors, pilots, and all of that. But now it's so nice to hear that he is actually living his dream, And big ups to you, Sbura.
Thank you, Mbali, Clindy, exposing me.
Mbali, thanks for your call in the children. Bokang, we've got you back. I hope you've switched. Yeah, there. How are you doing, Bokang?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right. What do you want to say?
So this is Bokang's mom, right? Bokang is 15, going on 16.
Okay.
He's in grade 10, and he's wanted to be a pilot forever.
Yeah.
So he wanted to find out what subjects must he focus in high school, and is it possible that he can study, what subject must he study in tertiary, and can he do the practical and the studying at the same time.
Oh, okay. Lovely, yeah?
Okay, so in high school, best subjects to take if you want to follow this career, it's maths and science. Mm. And the reason for that, although you can go into a flying school without having those subjects, but the reason for having those subjects is, first of all, the subjects that you're going to do, that you're going to write for your ground school before you get your licenses, you kind of need that background. You need it. And even your day-to-day flying, we use maths, physics, like daily calculations, mental calculations.
Sure.
But also...
I would crush playing.
But also, for sponsorship, like funding South African Air Force cadet programs and I think TITA and CAA, they also require maths and science. And a lot of airlines also require that. So I'd say that would be the two most important ones.
Mm.
And then if you can, geography, not necessary, but it does help.
Mm.
And then if she wants to go to varsity and still fly, it's very much possible. Yeah, so I'd say... maybe she can study something that's related to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the moment, I have a BCom business management degree, but it's focused on aviation management.
Yeah.
So it goes hand in hand with what I'm doing. It's still the same industry. So I would say maybe try to look for those kind of degrees, or even engineering if you would like to do something like that. But just make sure that it's in line with what she wants, so that it's not two completely different things.
Ma Kabongwe, you're calling from the Johannesburg South. Hi.
Hi, Clement. Just have a quick question. Mm. Actually, it's not a quick question, but it's a two-part question. So when I was in high school, I wanted to be a pilot so badly. I found out later that, number one, the private schools are expensive.
Mm.
Not only that, they don't want your 50s and your 40s in maths and physics. They want your 80s and your 70s in both the private schools and the bursaries. So... I was faced with that problem. So I ended up being an engineer. So I still have the love for being a pilot. I don't know if it's possible if I could divert from being an engineer and do the pilot side in the same time, or major them both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I just have that question. Is it possible to link engineering and aviation at the same time?
Lovely question, Makabongwe. Thank you.
Hi, Makabongwe. So it is very, very possible. To merge engineering and flying at the same time would actually be very more beneficial towards you. For instance, you can operate as a pilot, but be also be a chief technical pilot at the same instance. So the more technical and engineering background you have, the better chances of you being in a pilot seat, if I can put it that way. So to merge them, it's very much possible. And if you can maybe look into something aeronautics or what else can I, electrics as well.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of aircraft that are now electrically based. So if you can, it's very possible. It's very absolutely very possible. Yeah.
Okay, Rodney, you're in Soshanguve. Hi.
Hi, hi, Clement. How are you?
Sharp, sharp. How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. I just want to send a shout out to my boy, Spuda.
Hey, Tara.
Yeah, we went to school together at Waterloo Water School. I don't know if he's still remembers. He still remembers me.
I remember, okay. I remember you, my
friend. Yeah, so yeah. Actually, I just want to say a little bit about him. He was very focused.
Yeah.
And yeah, you'd find him in his room meditating, thinking about he was yeah, he was always motivating us.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. I didn't finish my pilot course. I went into robotics. So yeah, the way he inspired me, it gave me an so that I can pursue my career. Each and every time when I see his success, it's like, you know what, everything that you want to achieve in this world, you can achieve.
Possible.
Who was always, yeah, who was always focused, and yeah, he was always the strict one.
Yeah. Yeah. Lovely one, Rodney in Soshanguve. Thank you. Onika, you are in Sandton. Hi. Hi, Onika.
Hello.
Hi.
Clement. Yes, I just wanted to do a shout out to my buddy.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job, buddy, being a pilot mom, juggling everything that you're juggling, and still have a huge passion in aviation. I know it was kind of like down for you during the 2 years where you couldn't fly. Your passion like was just suppressed there, but you kept on shining, being a good buddy, being a mom, being a wife. Hala to you. You're doing a great job and I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much, Onika. Oh, that's my bestie. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, bestie. Onika in Sandton. Two questions, and you can choose which you want to pick up on or you can answer both. One question, someone on Twitter says, please can you ask them how do they maintain a healthy personal life given that the professional hours seem to be so demanding? And then the second question is, someone is asking, Clement, please ask them, how were they affected by the hard lockdown travel restrictions, just as pilots? So those two questions.
Okay. Actually, there's a misconception sometimes about our careers. I think people think we're always away. It's actually not always the case.
Yeah.
It is very much dependent also on the airline that you fly for and the routes that you fly. But for us at the moment, like today's my off day.
Yeah.
So I'm here today. And then right after this, I'm taking my son for swimming lessons and I'm going to have dinner with my husband and then spend time with my family. So the way it's just that when you get your schedule for the month, then we just arrange your life around that schedule for the rest of the month. So you already know what you're going to do on this day. Like on my off day weekends, I make the most of it and spend a lot of time with my family. And then on my off days during the week, that's like me time.
Yes.
I go to the gym like yesterday morning, went to the gym. Then I run my errands and then I do whatever admin I need to do. Then when my kids come back from school, I'm home. And then my husband comes back, I'm home, you know. And then on days that I'm working, I've already made up for that. Like I've spent like the entire day with them. So it actually ends up, I always say it ends up with where you kind of home more than a normal 9-to-5 person.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of home more. So, but it's just basically just management. Yeah.
And for you?
Exercise. Golf, lots of golf.
Yeah.
Oh, you play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Please don't ask my name.
No, I will never, because I hate you when people ask.
I know, right? It's a very personal.
We should hit some balls.
We definitely should.
I'm a social player.
Me too.
I don't have a single number, single digit handicap, but I can hit some balls.
Perfect. So exercise. And I found golf. It's been helping a lot, and I tend to dabble a bit in the cooking department.
Oh, yeah? So, lovely.
Yeah, I'm an aspiring chef in the morning, if I can put it that way. And a healthy mind is a very, it's a healthy body needs a healthy mind. Yeah. And I think this will lead me now to the hard lockdown question. Mm. It was very difficult, financially, emotionally, and...
You guys were not flying, so you were not getting paid.
Yes.
Sure.
And emotionally, mentally. It's like someone just ripped a part of you away.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been taken abruptly. And that's hard lockdown. And it's, we live, you know, most people who fly, pilots, you ask them, what is your job to you? Your job is my life.
Yeah.
I live it, I breathe it, and it's in essence a part of me.
Mm.
So I adopted a lot of these skills like golf, and I joined a great bunch of guys who taught me how to play golf, and I'm pretty sure they're all listening now. I'm going to get a few comments after this. So they kept inspiring me, motivated me throughout the whole process, and you also need someone to talk to. And but we got through it, and then... Oh, that day. I flew the launch day. Man, I was emotional in the cockpit the whole way.
Goosebumps,
Tears. Goosebumps.
So that was the first time flying in how long?
18 months.
18 months.
Sure. And I think just to add on to what Zibusile is saying is that also this, for us, it's not a job.
Yeah.
It's a passion. Like we said, we wanted to do this since we were 7. It's a passion. So when we're working, it actually doesn't feel like working. So I think that's why it was also quite tough on us when we weren't flying, because this wasn't just about the income, but it was also about like doing something that you love, and you don't know when that's going to come back.
I remember when COVID started, we had South Africans in Wuhan. We had South Africans in Wuhan who needed to be repatriated back.
Yeah.
And I remember some people were calling, and someone started a rumor that there are pilots and soldiers who didn't want to go to Wuhan to fetch South Africans. I hope you guys were not part of those.
No, but that's the thing. I think with us, because we love flying, we actually usually volunteer for such.
You're like, send me.
I'll put my hand up.
Me.
Okay, geez, I've got so many calls. Let's start with voice notes. I haven't played your voice notes in a while.
Yeah, I was actually a flight attendant at some point at South African Airways, and I love flying. So God blessed me with a successful business. And I went on to buy my own general aviation aeroplane. I'm a private pilot. My plan is to help one or two kids, you know, build their hours, because that's the most expensive part of flying.
Nice.
And I'm actually starting this year with one lady to build their hours. So that is my plan. That's my contribution to aviation.
Oh, love that.
Wow,
that's great.
I'd love to collaborate with him.
That's amazing. We're going to take your contacts and let's see how we can also help some of the listeners who've also called in and said, I just want some hours for my kids who are passionate about it. And I love that you're opening the door to help other people. More voice notes.
Hi, Clement. If I can just pose a question to your guests. If there is danger, the plane's going to go down. I know this might be a bit insensitive. There is a chance for the pilot to escape or to eject like they do in the movies. Is it a pilot's responsibility to go down with the plane, even if they are able to save their life instead of maybe the passengers?
So,
popular misconception.
Misconception,
No.
You know,
Energy parachute.
Rolling it together.
And funny enough, like as part of our training with commercial pilots, in terms of if we have any emergencies, when you get onto the ground, the captain is actually the last person that leaves the aircraft.
Yeah.
So you can't be the first one that's dashing out of there. Mm-hmm. So in terms of leaving the aircraft, that's only done by military fighter jets because they have an ejection seat, but that's like a one or two man operation. So if something goes wrong, they can both eject and leave the aircraft. But you can't now leave so many passengers on board because, you know, and as we were saying initially, that we actually train for a lot of the emergencies. So you're going to have to go through all these the skills and knowledge and everything that you've trained for to try and land the aircraft safely.
How much do you share, Sbu? Because I hate it when there are turbulences and we've been in the skies for 8 hours. And when I hear that, what do you guys say before you talk to us? whatever you say and then you're communicating to us and we can hear you, I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? That's always my reaction. So how much do you share? Like, so if you see that, oh my God, something is wrong, maybe air traffic control, they're communicating that, oh, or weather conditions, how much are you always transparent to say, this is the situation?
Absolutely.
Or do you manage our anxieties? Because if you tell me what really is going on, I'm going to piss on myself.
Look, be transparent, but also be cognizant of the fact that we have a lot of nervous flyers.
Yeah.
A lot of people are nervous flyers. So say what the situation is, but do not actually say it like it actually is. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
So if we do have let's say, for example, if there's a fire on board, I won't say we are actually now running out of time because we're fighting the fire and we're following procedure. We want to get the aircraft on the ground.
Oh, don't tell me this. Oh, but if I'm in that flight, don't tell me there's fire. Because
you'll see the smoke.
Oh, I'll think it's the clouds. Hey, Lindy, where are you calling from? Johannesburg. Hi, didn't I take Lindy earlier? Hi, Lindy, where?
Good morning.
Hi.
I just want to say to both.
Hello, wife.
We are so proud of you. We are inspired. Thank you for reminding us that each and every dream is valid. Maybe just a few questions to both of them, but more to Rafila, because who has answered these questions at home? What have been some of your highlights? And do you guys still get nervous when you step into that cockpit? Does it feel like the very first time?
Wonderful questions. Thank you, wifey. Wow, thank you for calling.
Wonderful.
Yeah. In terms of highlights, my gosh, I have so many. Do you have the whole day? But highlights, I trained in the South African Air Force. I did amazing flying in the Air Force. I trained on the PC-7, which is an aerobatic aircraft.
Yeah.
So I've flown inverted. I've done so many aerobatic maneuvers on there. So definitely huge highlights there. Mm. And also I flew the Oryx helicopter in the Air Force.
Mm.
So many operations and so many amazing once-in-a-lifetime, memories from there. And also just I fly the Airbus A320 now. Just the scenery, that we are so damn lucky. Like every day is just so amazing. So in terms of nerves, not so much, but always prepared for a flight and... Yeah. Just we enjoy it.
I just think you guys are weird human beings. You don't get nervous?
No.
Okay, actually. So you told your wife about your highlights.
Yes.
We also want to know.
What are
your highlights?
Oh, my highlights, my career. Number one, flying the flag.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That a dream come true. And that's why every day when I walk into that SAA aircraft and just see the tail and I look at the crew, the staff, to me, that's... It humbles me, and then it reminds me that every child out there who has the dream of one day being a pilot, it is possible.
Yeah.
That dream will always live with you.
Yeah.
And one of our callers actually said that he did engineering trying to get away from flying, but it's still biting him.
Yeah.
The bug is still
there. The bug is still
there. Passion will always
How are you guys affected by just... during the time, and I know you're not involved in these because these are political issues, but when there's mismanagement at SAA, they've not shared their financials, people are complaining that SAA is taking taxpayers' money, does it affect the morale at work?
No.
Mm.
It does to a certain point, but no.
Yeah, you
no,
just like focus on this is
not,
my job.
Yeah, not on the flight deck. But, on the flight deck, I think we're lucky enough to actually work with a nice group of professionals.
Oh, yeah.
Flight deck and flight attendants. Mm. And hospitality is still great, still one of the best. And we just focus on the job and enjoying, loving what we do. So,
and things are changing now, right?
Yes.
And a good friend of mine is actually, guys, your boss there, Mr. Kokolo, the CEO. Yeah. Oh, you guys call him Brad T.
He also plays golf. I think we need to pull him out as well.
We should. Yeah. Kanya, you're in Pretoria. Hi.
Yes, good. Yes, morning. The Clement and the aviators there.
Yes, sure.
Yes, I've got a question here. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to find out from them that how do they handle the situation of like flying around the world. When you fly around the world, you have to be in constant communication with the air traffic control.
Yeah.
Yes, especially when you're about to land. But as you fly around the world, you talk to different people of different backgrounds.
Mm.
So I think that English is the common language, is the universal language that is used in air traffic control. But however, there are some people who are non-English speakers. Yes, Japanese, for example, Chinese, for example, French, for example. Those people, those air traffic controllers tend to have, what do you call it, a certain tone in the English language.
Communication barriers, I can understand. Yeah. Kanya, thank you. Brilliant question. How do you guys deal with that?
Okay, Kanya, thanks for the question. A lot of people have actually asked me this before. So English is the primary communication language in aviation. And the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, has come up with a document of what we call standard phraseology in terms of radio communication. So we use a standard phrase, it's in English, but a standard phraseology is throughout the world. So you can actually communicate globally. The problem comes in with accents.
Yeah.
The problem comes in with accents. You'll ask someone when one is, sometimes one doesn't sound like one. So that's why we use friends like phrases like such as if you want to go to flight level 100, you're not allowed to say 100, say 100.
Oh, that helps.
You climb to level 240, so you use numbers.
What does that mean when you have to climb to 20?
So it's 24,000 feet.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've got a call now from Mpo. Hello, Mpo.
Hello.
Sure, Mpoza.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you? You are the chief pilot.
The boss.
The boss is in the building.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Those two are my, two of the people that we are very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And who are part of the FAA and flying that flag very high for us. And just wanted to say that how proud we are of them. And the work they do in aviation, and I think, I hope they've been able to encourage many more people to follow in this. But it's also it's good to see young people encouraging other people to work hard.
Yeah,
because aviation is a very specialized profession. It is also it's at an international standard. There is there's no second class or third class. Either you're excellent or you're not excellent. And your qualification is world class.
That's beautiful.
Yes, those are two people, one who are as a company, and I personally are very proud of their achievements.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Mpo.
Thank you.
Lovely call. Lovely call from the chief pilot.
Yes.
What do you guys still want to do? I mean, from here, where to?
I think I'll fly until my body says no.
Is that how much you enjoy it?
I love it so much. Yeah. And I think after retirement, I'm going to really focus all my energies in aviation development, especially in rural areas.
Like that.
And I want to play a major role in getting exposure to people who don't have access, you know. And that's why I'm trying. I'm busy drafting an organization development program at the moment, and mostly focusing on kids. Plant the seed while they're still at a young age. Wonderful. After matric, they'll be ready.
And you, Rafila?
Well, for me, obviously flying, I don't want to stop flying.
More and more.
Yeah. And then also just utilizing my degree, because I've become a business management degree in aviation management. So I'm just getting more now involved in the safety aspects of flying, because we know safety is of utmost importance in aviation. So I just want to know what, almost outside the flight deck, what also happens there, what it takes to actually, fly an aircraft or run an airline. But I don't want to stop flying. And then also, I have done in the past aviation outreach programs, but now I'm just trying to, I'm mentoring young girls who are aspiring or who just started flying.
Oh, I like how you guys are like giving birth and back.
Jeez.
And helping people who, because you've been there where you were hungry for these opportunities.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys, for coming
through. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed this chat. You guys inspired a lot of people. You inspired me. I'm not going to fly, but I'm going to go after some of my other dreams.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. We're so proud of you.
Thank you so much.